say good morning, everyone. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Alex. I'm Pastor Alex. Hi. thank you. I am so excited to be here today. Pastor Shayna was here a moment ago. She had to leave for a little bit, but today I'm going to be sharing with you a message. You guys okay with that? Amen. Amen. All right. Well, let's do this. I want to just jump into the word here real quickly. So can you open up your Bibles to John chapter 1? John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 12. John chapter 1, verse 12. While you're doing that, is it okay if I tell you a little joke? You guys okay with that? Everyone's so quiet. Is it okay if I tell you a little joke? Okay. All right. Here we go. John chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 12. But while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you a joke. Okay. So the Pope goes to New York. He's picked up at the airport by a limousine. He looks at the beautiful car, and he says to the driver, "You know, I hardly ever get to drive. Would you just let me, just for a little bit, just drive the car around?" You know, the driver, understandably hesitant, says, "I'm sorry, but I don't think I'm supposed to do that. You know, I'm supposed to drive you." But the Pope persists, and he says, "Oh, come on, please, I never get a chance to drive a car. Can I just drive for a little bit?" So finally the driver says, all right, I'll tell you what. I'll let you drive, but only for a little while." Okay. So the Pope, he takes the wheel, and he is so excited to get behind the wheel of a vehicle. And he steps on that gas, and he's going down a 45-mile-per-hour lane at 100 miles an hour. And guess what happens when you're going 100 miles an hour in a 45-mile lane? Woo! Pope gets pulled over. Officer walks up to the window, knocks on the window. Window rolls down, and to his surprise, the officer sees, "Wait a second, this is the Pope." So the officer goes back to his vehicle, and he begins to radio in, and he says, "We have a problem here, Chief." The chief says, "Well, what's the problem?" "Well, you see, I pulled over this speeding vehicle, I think it's someone really important." The chief says, "Important like the mayor?" No, more important than that." "Like the governor?" No, way more important than that." "The president?" "No, way more important than that." And the chief says, "Well, who could be more important than the president?" "I don't know, but the Pope is driving him, so it's got to be God in the back." Gotta be. The Pope is driving him around. I thought that was great. Anyways, it has nothing to do with my message today, but if you ever see the Pope driving around, he's probably not driving God around. But everyone got John 1? All right. Let's see. So let's do this. Go ahead and put your finger in your Bible. We're going to do our Bible affirmation today. The Bible affirmation, and just to give you a little background, this is what we proclaim God's word is to us. Okay. And so what we're going to do, for those of you that are new here at Rohi, I want you to take your finger, put it in your Bible, just to hold your spot. Hold your Bible up high in the sky and in the air. And we're going to declare this truth about the word that we're about to read. Is it okay? Do we do that? All right. Join me in it right now. "This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. Thank you, Lord, that you will change my life forever." Forever. All right. Join me in John chapter 1. We're going to read verse 12 together. You guys ready to do that? Here we go. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Father, we just thank you for opening up your word right now, oh God. I thank you, Lord, that you gave power. I thank you, Lord, that your resurrection, that when you ascended, oh God, when you came out of your grave, oh God, that you brought us an amazing gift to be reunited back again with the Father. I thank you, Lord, that you call us children, that, Lord, we are your sons and your daughters. And so right now, oh God, I declare and I proclaim that as sons and daughters, that as prince and princesses of a king, oh God, that we will hear your word and we will declare its truth in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Anybody know what last week was? Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection. And Pastor did an amazing job of going. Yeah, you can give it. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to break this mic doing this, but that's all right. Pastor did an amazing job of showing us what the resurrection truly was, that it wasn't just a story in the Bible, that it wasn't just fake news, but if you take the Bible as historical content and you look at all of the evidence that was there, there is no doubt that the resurrection happened. And because there's no doubt that the resurrection happened, everything that God promised, there should be no doubt about it. Everything that the word has to say about what was given when the resurrection was to occur will and has come in our lives. Amen? You guys believe that? All right. Well, good, because we're going to talk about the benefit of resurrection. We're going to talk about the benefit of resurrection. And I feel a little silly saying it, because one of the things that I realize is that while Jesus gave his life, while he died on the cross, while he was buried, and then while he was resurrected, there are benefits to us, but I feel silly saying it, because at the end of the day, he just wanted to be reunited with us. His death reunited us in a broken relationship that was established thousands of years ago. His death paid for a broken relationship. It allowed us to reconnect back to the Father. You know, it utterly blows my mind to think of all that the resurrection has brought. And we don't deserve the grace that he's given us. And yet we have access to it. And yet we have access to it. You know, today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you by telling you that you have been given so much by Jesus Christ. I don't think we realize just how much we've been given. And oftentimes the negative thoughts that are spewed in our minds and the things that we keep telling ourselves about who we are, it negates God's promises in us. God tells us, you are my son. You are my daughter. You are a prince. You are a princess. Why? Because you are the son and daughter of a king. And our minds and our thoughts say, you're good for nothing. Look at what you did. Look at who you were with. Look at the words that you said. Look at the way that people stare at you. Look at the way that people judge you. And immediately our minds start to negate promises that God has given us. But John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You know, this verse here reveals something about us that I don't think we quite grasp all the time. It says that when we accepted Jesus into our life, we became a child of God. Anybody here have children? Yep. Okay. Anybody here a child before? Everyone should raise their hand now. If mom or dad or auntie or whoever it was that raised you, if they had something, and by the way, and you have a good auntie or a good mom or a good daddy, whoever it was that raised you, and they had something, would they keep it from you? I'm going to need y'all to talk back to me, right? Is that okay? Can we do that? I'll tell you what. I'll get down here, and we could just talk together. If mom or dad had something, would they keep it from you? No. Why not? Because you're their child. And because they want good for you. Well, look, if you are the child of God, and he has everything, you think he's going to keep it from you? And so what are the things that he has? This verse reveals that he has given so much. In fact, if you look at what you get when you have become a child of God, one of the things that you've been given is power. It's power. It's power. That word that's used to describe power, it is the word in Greek, exousia. And it describes a delegated power or an influence. It describes an influence, the ability to change an ecosystem around you because you have power to influence it before. Because I am a child of God, he has given me delegated authority to influence the things that are around me. To influence the things that are around me. What does that mean for me? It means that I have authority to proclaim things that aren't as though they are. It means that I have power and authority to declare healing when disease looks like it's rampant. It means that I have the authority to declare that sickness is not in my body. It means that I have the authority over cancer. It means that I have the authority over a broken leg. It means that I have the authority, the delegated authority, and the influence over my surrounding and over my ecosystem. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty powerful. That the moment that I gave my life, the moment that I received him, he gave me access to that because I am his child. The power to bring healing. I never understood exactly what that power meant or what that looked like in reality for a long while. Now, I've been saved for, I don't know, a little over a decade. Is that right? Sure, why not? When we moved here to, my wife and I moved here from Southern California, I didn't know who Jesus was. I had no passion for anything that the church had to do. In fact, the last thing I ever wanted to do was show up at a church and be influenced by whatever it was that the church had to tell me. Anybody with me? Anybody been like that before? Yeah. But, Jesus came into my life, and I realized, oh my gosh, this God who I had always pushed us away, this Jesus Christ who I always said, no, not in my life, this God who I said, not for me, for someone else, this God who I said, you know what, this doesn't work for me, this doesn't work for my lifestyle, this doesn't work for who I am, this doesn't work for where I grew up in. He said, you know what, I love you. And he embraced me. And through hurt and through pain, he said, I still got you, baby. I still got you. Through death and family, he said, I still got you. I still got you. I still got you. My wife, who is amazing. Anybody agree with that? Pastor Jennifer is my wife, by the way. My wife, who is amazing, taught me the amazing anointing of the power of what this means. Because how many of you have had a healing touch from her before? Yeah. Okay. I had never once seen miracles happen until I had seen her say, I trust the authority that you give me, God, and I am going to heal my body, those around me, and declare your truth over them. Boy, that blew my mind to see that happen. Because no, God, to me, Jesus he was a comforter, yes. You know, he brought wisdom, yes. And I knew through some experience that, yeah, he could be a healer. But to see it happen, to see the delegated power and authority and the influence occur, boy, I tell you, it blows my mind. But you know what blows my mind even more? Is that that authority, that delegated authority and that influence isn't just her gift. He gave that to all of us in this room. Every one of you who have said, I accept you, Jesus Christ, into my heart, into my life, have been given that authority, have been given that influence, have been given the ability to say, nope, not anymore. Nope, I don't accept this. Nope, healing is what I'm declaring right now. Because that's his truth. Everyone in here has that power. Everyone in here has that power. The power to be able to declare things and proclaim them prophetically and then see them come to pass. Prophecy is amazing. But to see it happen, to see that authority and that influence begin to move and shake things, boy, it's good. It's good. It's good. But he's given us power. He's given us power. He's given us power. What else did he give us? 2 Corinthians 5. Turn to me to 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to look at verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. I'm going to read that one more time. Because this is a powerful, powerful, powerful verse. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Someone turn to your neighbor and say, you're a new creation. Old things have passed. Behold, all things have become new. You have become new. You have been made new. That word that we see here, new, is the Greek word kainos. Kainos. K-A-I-N-O-S. And it describes something that is brand new or recently made new. It also carries the idea that something is superior. That something is superior. Now, this means that when Jesus Christ came into our lives, can you put up that verse? Can you put up that verse? It's 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But when he called things to be new, he said, not only are they new, but they are superior to the old. When you gave your life to Christ, you were created to be new. And the new thing is superior to the old thing. Now, when I look at new here, we think new in terms of, in the context of time. In other words, it's new, but eventually that thing's going to get old again, right? Right, everything that I get a brand new pair of shoes. What happens to the brand new pair of shoes that I wear them? They eventually get worn out and get old. I get a brand new car. Eventually that thing is old, worn down. This word is not in the context of time. Everything in the kingdom that's new stays new. Now that should encourage every one of us right here. Because whether or not you gave your life to Christ last week or whether you gave your life to Christ 40 years ago, he is still doing a new thing right now. You are still a new creature in him right now. What does that mean, though? What does it mean to be a new creature? Because I think we struggle with what this means. Does it mean that all of a sudden everything has changed? The way I look, the way my hair smells, the clothes that I wear, the kind of socks that I put on from now on, the attitude that I have or don't have. Is that what that means? Is that what that means? Does it mean that now I don't have the same family that I once used to have? Does it mean that if I didn't have a daddy around, that now I do because I'm brand new? Does it mean that if I struggle with identity issues, that I don't have those anymore because I'm brand new? Here's the answer to all those. Yeah. So why do we struggle with being new and still seeing the old happen? Why do we struggle with being the new and still seeing the old happen? That's a good question, Pastor Alex. That's a good question. That's a good question. Here's what happens. Jesus' promise says that old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here's what we do. We take the new in us. We take the new us because we've given our life to Christ. We've accepted his resurrection. We've accepted the gospel and the good news. And we say, boy, this lifestyle feels pretty good. Now let me go ahead and pick up the old me and put it on like a coat and walk around with the old me because I'm comfortable with the old me. Because I know what the old me feels like and I know what the old me smells like and I know what the old me is used to doing. And I know what the old me is comfortable with being. And I get it that I'm a new me. But the old me feels pretty good. The old me feels pretty good. And so we walk around in like a fur coat. with the old me on, the old thinking, the old ways that the old attitudes that I've had, the old friends that I hung around with. The way that I used to spend my money. And here's how it shows up. My family always did it like this. And so therefore, yeah, I'm a new creation, but we're going to continue to do it like this. I'll give you an example. I grew up in a family where I have a very strong mother. Anybody got a really strong mama at home that will beat you with a broomstick? Okay, don't raise your hand if she's here. Shit, they don't like that. They'll beat you with broomsticks later. But I had a very strong mama at home who took really good care of me. And I had a dad who was never around. In fact, most of the time I always wondered, where is my dad and how come he doesn't want to spend time with me and my family? Now, my dad was a drug addict. He would rather hang out with his friends and hang out with his boys, me and my brother. And it really tore me apart on the inside because it made me think, why doesn't this man who I know is supposed to love me not love me? Because everything that I see on television shows the perfect family of dad being around and mom and brother and sister. But dad's always around and he's an influencer and he tells you, man, you know, I'm proud of you. And he plays baseball with you and he throws a football around. You know, and some of us didn't have those experiences. And so there's this void inside of me that says, I can't ever trust anyone. I can't ever allow anyone, or I can't ever love anyone or have an attachment because of the disconnect that I had. And so even though we've given our life to Christ, we still carry around the old man and said, I just can't trust people around me. I can't trust that someone else would have my best interests at heart. Because my family says something different. The way that we manage our money as a family may have influenced the way that you do it now. Poverty mentality starts at a very young age, and then that mentality just continues to go forward. And so then we're all grown, managing our own finances and not knowing how to do it, we're a new creature. And then we hit something like, well, tithes and offerings. Whoa, bump that. No, uh-uh. We never did that. My culture doesn't do that. We don't do that. We if someone tells me something in my family, we respond. Enact. We respond. But Jesus says, look, if someone punches you in the face, give them the other cheek. Wait, what? Do you know who I am? Do you know where I grew up in? Someone does something to me like that, ain't no other cheek coming up. Yeah, but Jesus, he says, here is what the law says to do. And then Jesus, he begins to share, here is the extent and the limit of the law. But then he says, now I want you to go beyond that. Because I've made you new, I want you to go beyond that. Beyond what the law has to say. Beyond what it is that the expectation is that the law has to say. Why? Because I want you to show people that they are loved. I want you to show people that they are cared for. I want you to show people that they are valuable. That they are valuable. But this newness part of it, boy, I struggle with this big time. I struggle with this for a long time. And even still now struggle with it. What this means to be new. How do I give up the old stinky thinking that I once had? Because that thing just comes right back up. I'll tell you what, the old me feels pretty good when I put him back on. When Jesus died on the cross, though, and he was resurrected, you don't ever see him carrying around a scourged body. You don't ever see him around carrying around a bloody body and saying, this is who I am. No, 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 no. Now, he still had the piercings that were there to prove who he was. But you know what? The Bible describes after his resurrection that he has a new body. In fact, he was able to do some pretty amazing things after the resurrection, be able to walk through walls like a superhero. I thought that was pretty awesome. Be able to change the way he looked. He didn't even look the way that he looked. People didn't even recognize him. What does that mean for us? Well, when we're a new creature, when we're a new creature, we're given a new identity. We're given a new identity. But wait, I'm gonna, like an infomercial. He gives us power. He gives us newness. But wait, there's more. Because the resurrection just didn't stop with that. The resurrection didn't stop with that. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship." We are his workmanship. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You are his workmanship." Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. You know what? I love this verse. Because we have been given power. We have been made new. But Ephesians 2:10 says that, wait, there's more. But you are his workmanship. That word that we use there for workmanship is the word in Greek that is poema. Poema. What does that word sound like to you? Poema. Poem. If you speak Spanish, it sounds like poem. It's like a work of art. Poema. That word poema. And that word is, it carries the idea of something that's artfully created. It says here, we are his artfully created beings. He took time. When we became new, he took time to say, I'm going to fashion her the way that I want, the way that I creatively and artistically think that she or he should operate. When I said, Jesus, I accept you into my heart and into my life, and I accept you as Savior and Lord, he says, you are my workmanship. You're beautiful. I've created you to be beautiful. Stop picking up the old thing and thinking that thing is beautiful, because you are my workmanship now. You are something that I have artfully considered, artistically thought through. And the new person that is there is not something that deserves to pick up the old and carry it around. I call it the thrift store you. We walk around with the thrift store us, the used us. There's brand new in us. We're brand new, but we pick up the thrift store us and we walk around with them because it's comfortable, because it's broken in. But he says, the thrift store you, that thing ain't got nothing compared to my workmanship. It's got nothing compared to the craft that I put in to the new you. So, baby, take off that old and begin to operate in the workmanship that I created you to be. You know, Pastor Shana had prayed over our congregation earlier and said that there was someone in here that had vision. There was a couple of you that raised your hand. But where does that vision come from? It comes from you being his workmanship. It comes from you being his workmanship and saying, I have created you artistically. I have thoughtfully created you. And now what I'm going to do is not only am I going to do that for you, but I'm also going to artistically and creatively start changing your thought patterns, the way you start thinking about things, the dreams that you've had, the visions that you've heard, the whispers that your ear picks up now. I've creatively and artistically have begun to inject those into you. And we're his workmanship. And we're his workmanship. His workmanship isn't something that's shoddy. It isn't something that is secondhand. His workmanship is something that's pretty spectacular. If you've given your life to Christ, you're pretty spectacular. Turn to somebody and say, you're spectacular. Pretty spectacular. You're pretty spectacular. Now that you know that, here's what I want you to do. Begin to adjust your thinking to match who you are as his workmanship, who you are as his created being, who you are as this artistically and thoughtfully created new you, new creature. Because it's time to stop picking up the old one, picking up the old man, picking up the old woman and thinking, I'm just going to fashion this thing to look real cute on me. That wasn't what his intention was. His intention was always to have you be his workmanship. Created for good works. Created for good works. When stinky thinking starts appearing in our mind, when stinky thinking starts taking over our thought pattern, you know what that's contending against? All of his good works. Everything that he has put in place inside of the new you, the old you says, nope. But it blocks the good works. I don't know about you, but I want the good works to press on, to move forward. I want to be able to be a testimony to those that are around me. That when the good works happen in my life, that testimony can impact and change someone else's life. That when good works begin to happen in my life and then those around me, that testimony will begin to transform and change my neighborhood. And that testimony begin to transform and change my community. And that testimony begin to transform and change my city and my state and my country. Because if God can heal, here, watch this. If God can heal in this place right here, if God can break out vision just in this little community here, when his good work starts to multiply outside of here, it starts to transform things. It starts to transform our communities and it starts to transform the nation that we're in. It starts to transform and his good work begins to spread. But how do we start? How do we get to that point? Because the resurrection gives us all these really good things. It gives us power. It gives us a new creation in each of us. And then it calls us his workmanship. But how do we get started? The first thing we need to do is we need to let down that old man and say, you know what, I don't want to be that one anymore. And this isn't something that I'm saying for y'all to do. This is something for me to do as well. Here's what I'm going to declare over you right now. In fact, let me pray this over you right now. Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would begin to remove any stinky thinking in each of our minds. I declare that there is a new creature, a workmanship, a carefully created and a carefully thought through person and being. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to pour out vision right now. That you would begin to declare your truths over everyone in this place right now, oh God. Father, forgive us for being so negative and talking so badly about ourselves, about your workmanship, and about the good works that you've done in us. Forgive us, oh God, for accepting defeat. Forgive us, oh God, for accepting low self-esteem. Forgive us, oh God, for accepting the lies of the enemy. Because you have made me totally new, absolutely new, completely new. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that you would help renew our minds right now. Lord, that your truth about us would be what we cling ourselves to. That your truth about us would be what we declare over ourselves every day. Yeah. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would guard the words out of our mouths. And instead of speaking evil of ourselves, that we would affirm the truth about who we are in you. Yeah, God, we just cast away every old thought right now. Every idea that the enemy has tried to implant, to destroy, to kill. And we declare right now life. This all starts when you've accepted Jesus into your life. If you haven't had a chance to accept Jesus into your life, I want you to come and talk to me after service. Because these benefits of resurrection happen after I've said, yeah, Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior. The newness that's there comes by saying, Lord, I give you my life. The workmanship comes when I say, Lord, I am yours, and I accept your salvation. And if you haven't done that, and if you're ready to experience something new, come and talk to me after service. Do me a favor, everyone stand. Everyone stand. I'm gonna bless you. We're gonna pray, and then I'm gonna invite those of you that don't have a relationship with Christ to come and talk to me after service. Is it all right if we do that? Yeah. All right. Do me a favor. Go ahead and put your hand on the shoulder to the person next to you or behind you. And I want you to declare this over them. Declare, they are new. They are your workmanship. Yeah. We declare blessing over them right now. Let me just pray. God, I pray that you would release any stinky thinky right now, that you would release any old man within us right now, God. Yeah. Father, I pray, Lord, for just the freedom to be able to walk in your newness right now, God. That as we step out of this door, as we step out of service today, God, that there would be a renewing in our minds of who we are, oh God. Father, we remove everything that's... Yes, Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let me just bless you out. Father, I just thank you, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just shine your face over everyone this week, oh God. Lord, that as we go out about our way, that as we run into people that we might know, that as we go to the store, oh God, that as we're on the highways and the byways, that if anyone asks how we're doing, that our response would be blessed and highly favored. In Jesus' name, I dismiss you.